Now, it's the top five at five on the Rocon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. If you say so. Checking in at
number five.
All right. So a video surfaced of Amy Robach from ABC News complaining on a hot mic, open mic moment, that the network had quashed her Jeffrey Epstein interview. Not with Jeffrey Epstein, but with a key accuser of Jeffrey Epstein.
A couple years ago this was, yeah.
Right. Who was a person that apparently had been involved with British royalty by way of Jeffrey Epstein. Right?
Named Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew. In a can. And she said this, and this was picked up by Project Veritas. That's the group that, you know, does mostly conservative media, kind of, where they, you know, they go after the liberal media for trying to show how the liberal media is biased and all that. But they found this and they put it out, and now ABC News has to respond.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything.
Wow.
Pretty remarkable, you know, to say something like that. She says it was a private moment of just frustration that she was, obviously she didn't intend that to go public. But I think it says a lot that she was concerned about the Kate and Will interviews and that the network seemed to push back on that, of the story, because of that. That doesn't seem right.
There's more.
It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known.
Wow.
Had she exposed it then, too, you wonder if other victims would have been saved. I don't know. Would have things that he was doing been stopped? The scrutiny of ABC News in 2020 or their platform certainly could have done that. But it isn't just ABC. You've seen this with NBC as well. You saw Ronan Farrow complain that he had all the Weinstein goods and that he had to go to another news organization in order to
get it done.
And so he went back and said that he believes that Weinstein threatened his network, NBC, at the time, so that there seemed to be this ongoing narrative that very powerful people who are influential are influencing the coverage. And maybe they're doing that through threats and intimidation. You know, you're not going to get Will and Kate. You're not going to get this, or I have something on your people, was what he alleged with Weinstein. I know things about people who work for your organization. Kill the story, or I'll reveal that. It just is unsettling.
The whole thing is
unsettling.
I mean, there's a corruption across the board here. In terms of, and you know, you talk about quid pro quos and all that, and this in no way forgives, you know, what goes on in Washington. I'm not trying to say that public corruption is okay and media corruption is not okay, but when media corruption exists, that's got to be called out too.
It does,
and it's got to be addressed. And when you've got a situation where there's if it's a story, if it's a celebrity story, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If it's a if and that happens all the time.
Yeah. You know, the entertainment arms of those networks pay for interviews, for instance. And
right.
They tend to be rather glossy and that facts are left out. But you kind of get what they are when they're just a sit down with a celeb. This is different.
This is a crime story. Jeffrey Epstein was a criminal.
A horrific crime.
And he was a criminal who was hobnobbing with the most powerful people in America and perhaps dragging them into his criminality. So now the question is this. Does this finally, now that it's come out this way, does this story finally make air? Does Amy Robach's investigation make air?
The network has said we continue to investigate his actions and have reported on it since, but not in this way. You know, the sort of the reaction when it the news broke, but elsewhere.
Yeah, I know. It's a funny thing because we've all had this in our careers. We've had bosses who are like, I don't, you know, what are you talking about?
I had that issue when I was trying to talk about false confessions over 10 years ago. People didn't believe that anyone would confess to a crime that they didn't commit. And it was hard to even make that case in a newsroom years ago. I mean, we knew about John Burge, but we started to see other instances of that didn't seem to involve torture. They just involved intimidation. And look, now we accept that happened.
I'll never forget in 2006, I was at CNN and I was on a talk show there and they were talking about politics in America. And I said, you got to watch this one thing out of Illinois. This Barack Obama, he's a U.S., you know, new U.S. senator.
They probably pronounced his name wrong
right
back then.
And I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to be a guy to watch. I'll never forget this moment.
Uh-huh.
And the host of the show goes, you're boring me with this. Who cares about some guy in Illinois? I will never forget that moment. And I'm like, ah, well, see what happened.
Keep an eye on him.
Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Mitch Trubisky addressed the media before practice at Hallis Hall earlier today and says, I am not paying attention to any of this noise outside.
I'm trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of
or
what we're going through, what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in and, so, yeah, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to we're capable of doing.
Oh, no, he's like a 10-year-old. Oh, no, this is worse than I thought. You know, at least Jay Cutler was an adult that didn't care.
He would blow you off.
Right.
Like, I don't know, whatever.
This guy's 12, and he cares, and we're worried now.
This is the same messaging you heard from Matt Nagy, though, by the way. Exact same messaging
earmuffs.
Points. Earmuffs, everybody.
Earmuffs.
Blinders, earmuffs.
This is like Big. This is like the movie Big. This is like if somehow a 12-year-old now has become the quarterback of the Bears.
Oh, God, I want him to be good so badly.
He's going to have to go. He's going to have to go find that, you know, the genie in the box or whatever the hell that thing was.
Genie in a box?
Well, you know, from Big, whatever that thing was. It was, you know, the wisher, you know, where you go and you make a wish to a genie that's in a big, you know, that thing.
Fortune teller
kind of thing. Yeah, big fortune teller deal, yeah. So you have to go find that so you can go back to being a 12-year-old and we can find out. Without a first-round pick, by the way, I might remind you that even if the Bears tanked, we do not have a first-round pick.
Was that the Khalil Mack trade that we got rid of that?
Mm-hmm. Wait, there's... All right. Mitch talking about high school.
Yeah, I talk to my high school coaches every week, so it's usually they're just checking on me, see how they're doing. They check on me to see how I'm doing, and we just stay in contact because we have a really close relationship.
Right, because I really am 14, and this is the problem. The problem is this, that I was supposed to be on their team this year. I was actually going to be on the junior varsity, and now I'm in this big guy's body, and I got a mustache, and I don't know what to do.
I was a shoe-in for prom king. I know, really. Can we go back to that? Oh.
Oh, no, 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 no. No. Oh, here's the coach.
You try to find every answer that you can, and you stay as positive as you can, and I think that's the beauty of all this. There's a silver lining. There really is, and people can say it's cliche, and they can say it sounds good, but I fully and all my hearts believe that, and I don't know when it's going to happen. It's somewhere. It's somewhere, and when you finally knock it down and you figure it out and you get it, then you're going to say, okay, I see. Now, I couldn't tell. I was in the weeds then. I couldn't see it. But somewhere there's a silver lining in this whole story.
Okay. Hope is not a strategy. I just want to say that. It's not. I mean, listen, I'm all for hope.
But they have to be positive, don't they? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you see it. I don't know the way out of this mess. But positivity is going
to
help.
You're not getting paid to know the way out of this
mess.
That's
true.
Thankfully. That guy is. That's the difference.
It's frustrating not hearing what they're really working on to solve the problems. They're just like, we don't really know. We're kind of just working to be better. How? How are you doing that?
You don't know who we are, what we're capable
of. Right,
right.
Now
it's just
like, we're feeling good. We're feeling positive. That doesn't make me feel positive at all.
I want them to be good.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds you of being on an airplane. and you look outside, and the wing's on fire.
Oh,
right.
And the pilot.
And the pilot is
a, yeah, they talk to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you notice, look on the left side of the aircraft, you might notice that the wing is completely engulfed in fire. And we really have no idea what to do about it. But we're hoping that maybe over the next 5 to 10 minutes, it just goes out by itself. I just called my flight instructor, who
from high school,
told me that that's unusual and that it's unlikely it's going to go out by itself. But again, there's always hope. We know you have a lot of options when you fly. Like, thank you for flying with us today.
If you ever fly again,
good luck and pray for us all.
Okay,
it's a bit like that. It really,
that's
is.
Exactly what it's like. There all right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Lauren Lapka, what's happening on the roadways?
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy is the name of the show. It's Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
So this is Dr. Phil. Familiar with him?
Remember him.
He's been on the TV. His advice doesn't
Your pain.
He doesn't. His advice doesn't always work.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Have you verified that?
I have been able to verify that.
Personally?
Yes. His advice does not always work.
Okay.
He's got a lot of advice.
Oprah liked him a lot.
She did. She made him famous. I think she might want that one back. There's a couple she wants back.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Oz, who during sweeps always has a Petri dish filled with poop.
I know. He always talks about poop. It's a little too much sometimes. Although I like Dr. Oz.
And then, you take the worm out and you look at it. Like, uh-oh. Oh, my God. Oh, what is that?
And then that one author that lied, I think she wants that one back, too.
Yeah. Oh, the guy from A Million Little Pieces?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go Big Red. All right. So that is the point of Dr. Phil here for number 3, which is, on a recent show, he launched into what can be described generously as a factually inaccurate tirade about the horrors of marijuana.
When you smoke marijuana, it's like opening your computer up and pouring water inside. A lot of things short out, and it connects where it's not supposed to, and really creates problems. And this isn't my opinion. This is hard, solid scientific research.
Okay. Well, yeah, it does. I mean, he's not 100% wrong about that. I mean, it does change neural pathways a little bit. So everything that alcohol does. Everything does.
Uh-huh.
Dude, you don't understand. Horse, barn, gone. Where's the horse? It was just in the barn. What happened to the horse? It's gone. You people need to understand. This thing is, this marijuana is like me sticking my finger in your inbox. Horse is gone.
He needs to talk to some 13-year-olds.
Yeah. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Checking in at
number 2.
George Michael's posthumous single, This Is How We Want You to Get High, will appear over closing credits in the upcoming Last Christmas. Coming to a theater near you, Mr. Richard Roper will be here on Friday to tell us if that's worth seeing. That's got the mother of all dragons in it.
Daenerys.
Mm-hmm.
Emilia Clarke.
Yep.
Is that her singing in that commercial for real? Because she has a really nice voice, if so.
If she can sing as well, wow.
I know, it's just not fair when people like her, who are super cool and nice and funny and really good at acting, are also really good at singing.
And can tame a dragon.
Right.
Right. I give birth to a dragon.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. No, she just sat on the eggs or something. What did she do?
She didn't sit on the eggs.
No, so she walked into the fire, is like...
Okay, whatever.
She cannot lose his mind. Fire, and then they were born from the eggs and the fire.
All right. The Bittersweet Song was recorded during Michael's final studio sessions. It's about a father. It's a dysfunctional family in which the father was a drinker and a toker, observing how parents can influence their kids' bad lifestyles.
This is how we want you to get high. The way that we sold ya. The way that we sold ya with decent. This is how we want you to get high. This is how we want you to get high.
There is no end to taking advantage of dead celebrities.
I know.
Is there?
How can you do a whole movie over one song? Right? Isn't that what the premise is? Last Christmas?
Yeah. I mean, it's about the idea. It's a Christmas love story movie.
Like Love Actually?
Yes, that's it. Basically, it's
they're trying to rip that one off.
That's the whole idea. And it's this girl. She's got all these problems. She's a drinker, and she's got people in her family who are more successful than she is, and she doesn't know how to deal with herself. And she's just kind of lovelorn. And then all of a sudden, the guy from Crazy Rich Asians shows up and falls in love with her.
So they picked an underachiever in Amelia Clark to play that
right
role.
Exactly what they did. All right. Okay.
All right.
There you go.
So it's making sense now.
Right. Yeah. And then they go skating. And then they have to run away in their skates.
Well, you have to skate in a Christmas movie.
Sure. That's what it says. But it's all based on George. And again, where's George Michael's estate going? I mean, that's the thing. It's crazy. They're doing the same thing with Whitney Houston. Don't get me started. We can talk about that later. Yeah.
Number one.
When a 5-year-old called 911 to order a Happy Meal in Arizona, the Mesa police officer came to the rescue. The 5-year-old child, identified by Mesa Police Department as Charlie, dialed 911, asked the dispatcher if he was calling McDonald's.
Hello, 911.
Hi, is this McDonald's?
McDonald's?
Yes, is this McDonald's?
No, this is the Mesa Police Department. Do you have an emergency?
Can I get one with Happy Meal?
A Happy Meal?
Who is this?
Hey, this is Anthony.
Hello.
Hey, this is Anthony with the Mesa Police Department. We received several calls from this location. We just wanted to confirm that there was no emergency.
I don't know. The kids must have had the phone.
Yeah. It was, he kind of made my day. Hey, was that your son?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was asking me if I was McDonald's and if he can get a Happy Meal.
Oh, hell.
Desperate times require desperate measures.
I like the dad. Oh, hell. What, the cops are coming here now? That sort of voice that guy had.
Yeah, he's...
So the police arrived with a Happy Meal, by the way, just to let you know. Yep. Oh. Yep, a Happy Meal in his hand. Police officer.
Very patient officer, too. I give him credit.
Yeah, I like that. It's a nice story. The dad's like, you're not coming in the house now, are you? Everything's fine in here.
That's enough. Right there. Leave the Happy Meal on the stoop and leave.
Yeah, we don't need no trouble around here. All right. Well, coming up on the other side, we got important stuff. I know that's happening. Dr. Lauren Stryker is going to be here to talk about how much screen time is ruining your kids' eyesight and their attention span. That's all coming your way. But let's close this thing up first.
The top five at five.